So we continue today in a series that we are calling Equip 23 because it's focused on our Equip 23 emphasis this year, where we're talking about spiritual gifts and the reality that God has gifted each of his children for a service, for ministry that he wants to perform through you, that each of us, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives, and with that comes gifting. He gifts us in one, usually more areas, with spiritual gifts, and these are supernatural gifts that he uses, the Holy Spirit working through us to accomplish things that we can never do on our own. And the beauty of it is that God gifts each of us and then brings us together as his people and uses those gifts in itself a supernatural way as the church serves, fulfilling the purpose that God has given us. Again, the name of the series is Equip 23, and the purpose of it is to help individuals understand their gifts and how God uses them inside and outside the church. So we started off with kind of an introduction about spiritual gifts and what they are. We've looked at each of the gifts, both the serving gifts and the speaking gifts. And today we are going to ask the question, what is my gift? And we're going to talk about some ways that you can discover your gift. And you may be thinking, hey, I've taken the spiritual gifts inventory, I'm good. Well, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. And so we're going to really explore in a little more depth how you can come to know, and not just know, but understand how God has gifted you and how he wants to use that. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12:7, and then we're also going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. But we'll begin with 1 Corinthians 12:7, because our goal as believers, as Christians, should be to serve God faithfully, to be obedient to God. And here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:7. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. This means that each and every follower of Christ has been gifted with supernatural spiritual gifts for the purpose of being used inside and outside of the body of Christ, of the church, to serve God. We've all been gifted by Christ in some way, and we should have a desire both to know our gift and then to serve God faithfully, to serve his church, to serve him faithfully using the gifts that he's given us. Paul also says this to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 14. He says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders." Now, Paul's talking to Timothy, a pastor, about his giftedness, but the same truth applies to us. We should not neglect the gifts that God has given us. We need to pursue them, to pursue Christ by knowing him, knowing how he's gifted us, and serving his bride, the church. Now, if Timothy, the message is pretty clear here to Timothy, if you read the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, but right here in chapter 4, especially of 1 Timothy, if Timothy neglects the gifts that God has given him, then the church will suffer as a result of that. And the same's true for us. Yes, Paul's talking to Timothy, a pastor, but that applies to each and every believer, each and every follower of Christ in the church. If any of us neglect our giftedness, the church is going to suffer as a result of that. There are going to be people whose needs spiritually and physically are not met. And so it's important that we pursue understanding, knowing, understanding, and using the gifts that God has given us. So how do we discover our gift? Well, we've talked about spiritual gifts inventories, and they are valuable. And we've encouraged all of you to fill out a spiritual gift inventory. It's valuable, but it's not the end-all, be-all. You're not going to learn everything that you need to know about how you're gifted there. It's a good starting point. It gives you an idea of where God has gifted you, but you can't depend on that alone. It has value, but you can't depend on spiritual gifts inventories alone. So how else do we discover our gift? How do we go about doing that? Well, we're going to talk about what else we need to do to discover our gifts. You know, in front of me, there are steps that are used for what purpose? To get up and down off of this stage. I was sitting down there a few minutes ago, and then I had to get up here. So other than teleporting, which I don't have the gift to do, that's not a spiritual gift. Too bad, right? That'd be pretty awesome. What did I have to do to get up here? Well, I had to take steps to get up here. I had to take steps on level ground, but then to go up, I had to take steps up. And that's true of spiritual gifts. In order to understand how God has gifted me, there's not just one step that you have to take. There are multiple steps that we all need to take, because it's not just about knowing how God has gifted you. It's understanding what that means and how He wants to use that. And in some ways, that's a lifelong process. But there are steps that we can take to help us understand how God has gifted us. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. The first step is this. We all need to develop a servant's heart. I talked about this a few weeks ago. That's one of the first pieces of advice I got when I entered into the ministry. Pray for a servant's heart. And it's been valuable advice, because I think that's something that we all struggle with, because we're selfish by nature, and just the act of putting others' needs above ourselves is difficult for everybody, some more than others, but it's difficult. But we need to develop a servant's heart, a desire to submit to the Lord and to serve Him. Now, in the last week of our series, we're going to talk about submission. And we're going to talk about the importance of that and end on that note, because it is vitally important to serving the Lord and fulfilling the plan that He has for you and for me. But I do want to mention it, just hit on it quickly this morning. We need to develop a servant's heart, and we need to surrender to the Lordship of Christ in our lives. We have to be willing to allow Him to call the shots. God gives us a free will. He gives us the ability to choose to obey Him or not to obey Him. It's up to us. And we have to choose to obey Him. We have to make the decision. God, You are in control, and wherever You lead, I will follow. And it's important to do that on the front end, because when I'm faced with a difficult situation, whether or not to obey God, when obeying Him means going through something difficult, if I haven't already made the choice to submit and obey, it's going to be really difficult to do it in that moment. It's going to be hard to choose to obey when obedience means walking through something that's challenging or difficult. So I have to develop a servant's heart. Following Christ means surrendering my life to Him and His purposes. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:24. He said, "If anyone wants to follow after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Now, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that there's a choice involved, that I have to choose to submit. I have to choose to make Him Lord of my life. But it also tells us that I have to deny myself. That means I'm putting aside what I want to do, what I think should be done, my own agenda, and I'm following the Lord's will and direction. But there's something else here. Take up His cross daily. There's a daily denial that goes on here. And there's a daily decision that has to be made here. That this isn't something, yes, I submit to the Lord, I invite Him into my life, and I'm saved. But each day, I have to make the decision to follow Him. Because there's going to be multiple directions I can go each and every day. Multiple decisions that I have to make. So I have to develop an attitude of submission. And discovering your spiritual gift begins with this attitude, with this submission, with this humility before God, allowing Him to be Lord. Because if I'm not walking in obedience to Christ, if I'm not in the center of His will, it's impossible to use the gifts that He's given me. We need to also look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship." We're called to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. It is, you know, worship, we tend to think of worship as just what happens here on Sunday morning, and that is worship, certainly. That's one part of worship. When we look at Romans 12, 1 and verse 2, we learn, and as it's taught throughout the scripture, that worship involves everything that I do for the Lord. I sing worship to God. We study His Word. That's an act of worship. We're communicating with God. He's communicating with us. But then sharing the gospel is worship. Raising my family to know the Lord, that is worship. Obeying Him each day, that is worship. How I live my life should be an act of worship. Everything that I am, everything that I do, if I'm truly surrendering, taking up my cross, surrendering to Christ, living for Him each day, living as a sacrifice, my life as a sacrifice of praise to Him, everything that I do, discipleship, as I disciple somebody else, that is worship. It's all worship. My life should be a sacrifice of praise and worship to God. And if I'm willing to live that way, if I'm willing to obey Christ and submit to Him, that is an important first step to discovering how He's gifted me for service. So we begin simply, not so simply, by developing an attitude of submission, being willing to serve. If I'm not willing to serve, then God's not going to use me in service. I have to be willing to serve. Then the next step is that we need to practice faithfulness. We practice faithfulness. So I've decided I'm willing to serve. So what's the next step? I need to get involved. And I need to get involved in serving and fellowship with other believers. I need to be faithful in all areas of my life. We need to understand that God gives us these gifts. And even though I may not understand all there is to know, there are opportunities for me to show my faithfulness. To serve, to be obedient to Him, and time alone with Him daily, and worshiping Him in all areas of my life, and learning and studying the Word of God, but certainly serving within the body of Christ. And we need to understand that our gifts that we've been given are not meant to exist in a vacuum. Our gifts are given to be used in cooperation with the body of Christ. We're to serve together as the body of Christ. And we're all going to have the opportunity to do that through our Sunday night study. This implementation where we are dividing up into groups and coming together. And yes, we are going to accomplish, I believe, some great things this year. But the process is just as important as what we're going to accomplish, because it is so important for us to learn to work together regardless of what we're working on, what God is leading us to do. But we need to learn to use our gifts and abilities in cooperation with one another to accomplish the purposes that God has given us. And that's what we're going to do. Yes, over a three-week period, we're going to meet together and we're going to plan and we're going to work toward goals, but this is going to continue after that. And hopefully begins a new way of doing ministry here at Wall Highway, where everything we do, we are approaching it with this mindset that it's not just me or a small group of people doing it, but that we are working together with knowing each other's giftedness in mind and plugging individuals in, using their gifts to contribute to whatever it is that we are trying to accomplish. That's how we prove faithfulness corporately as the body of Christ. We serve, but then we also give others the opportunity to serve using their gifts, understanding that we work together. The reality is the best way to truly learn your spiritual giftedness is by serving. I mean, you can get all of the knowledge, you can take the inventory, you can learn about spiritual gifts, which we are doing in this series and in our study. You can get all of the head knowledge that you can hold in your brain. Until you start using it, until you start serving, you will never truly learn how God has gifted you. Jesus told His disciples that the way to spiritual success in His kingdom begins at the bottom. It's taking the role of a servant. The first will be last, the last will be first. And as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, him washing the disciples' feet, he was showing them that this is the role that we are all to take. If we're going to come after Him, we're going to deny ourselves, take up his cross daily, take up our cross daily, that involves service. It is being a humble servant. He showed us the example. A servant's heart, a willingness to serve, a sacrificial heart. These are key to discovering our spiritual gifts. And when we get involved in God's kingdom work, God begins to reveal to us our strengths and our weaknesses. And you may learn, by the way, you may take this inventory, or already have, and once you get involved in service, you may find out that it's not exactly right. Because through the act of serving, you're going to realize, hey, I'm a little stronger in this area. The Holy Spirit's using this in my life, has gifted me in this area. But the only way you're going to find that out is by serving, because God begins to reveal to you strengths and weaknesses, areas where you are obviously more gifted and more passionate and more comfortable serving, and areas where you're more outside of your comfort zone. But the only way we find that out is by serving the Lord. You'll never know, you'll never see, really see your giftedness if you don't get involved in serving in the life of the church. J.D. Greer says this. He said, God steers pedaling bicycles. He's the rudder for moving ships. If you and I will get moving in obedience, he will steer us into our special giftings. Once we get involved, serving inside the church, serving outside the church with other believers, remember, in cooperation with other believers, we open ourselves up to learning more about how the Holy Spirit has gifted us and how he wants to use that gifting. We also learn about our gifting, and this is why it's important to be plugged into a church. We learn about our spiritual gifting from other believers, showing us, telling us, hey, I recognize this gift in you. You may not see it yourself, but I see this in your life. And we read in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. How does this work? Well, we're looking out. We've got an attitude of submission, a servant's heart. We're putting others above ourselves. We're serving in connection with each other, in cooperation with each other. And as we're serving together, someone begins to see in my life things, areas where God has gifted me that I may not see. And they share that with me. You know, when I was first getting involved in ministry, I really made a decision to follow the Lord faithfully when I was about 19 or 20 years old. I was saved at the age of 7, but I really committed my life to the Lord when I was that age. And I got involved in our college and career ministry at the church I was in at the time, the church that I grew up in. And God placed people in that ministry in my life who had the opportunity and took the opportunity to speak into my life and show me areas that I was gifted in that I really didn't see. Leadership areas that I didn't see myself. Teaching gifts that I didn't see, I didn't recognize myself. But God used those individuals to wake me up to areas where God had gifted me and used that to show me ultimately part of a way to show me that he had called me, his plan for my life was this, what I'm doing today, ministry. But had I not been faithful in being involved in serving in that area and surrounding myself with those other people, I never would have learned that about myself. I never would have seen those areas of gifting. And so it took individuals speaking into my life. And so we receive that from others, but guess what? We need to be willing to do that for others also. When I see gifting in your life, I need to share that with you. Because you may not know that. You may, and that's great, but you may not. And so if the Holy Spirit shows me something in your life, I need to share that with you. You need to share that with me. We share that with each other so that we all learn more about our giftedness. And the only way that's going to happen is through faithfulness. I mean, we can't share this with each other if we're not together, right? We're not going to learn these things if we're not serving together and serving individually outside the church. God uses faithfulness, service, to teach us more about himself and to teach us about how he's gifted us for service. So I have to make a decision to be faithful and get involved in serving. And again, you've got a great opportunity to do that on Sunday nights as we break up into these. You're probably sitting there thinking, well, I don't know where to get involved. Come tonight and we'll tell you, okay? We'll give you the opportunity, all right? You're going to have this opportunity to put this into practice immediately. And so we need to be faithful. The third step, if we are going to pursue understanding and knowing our gifts, we need to understand our shape. And this is an important place to talk about shape. All right, what does that mean? What is it when I'm talking about, when I say shape, it's obviously an acronym. What does it mean? Well, it's ways that God has worked in your life and is working in your life to prepare you for his service. Yes, it involves spiritual gifts. That's part of it. It involves how the Holy Spirit has gifted you. And he does give you unique gifts to be used for his service. But it also involves your heart, what you're passionate about. I mean, those two things are going to be connected in some way. It involves your abilities. What's the difference between gifts and abilities? Spiritual gifts we receive at conversion. It's the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives working through us. Abilities we are born with. A lot of times those things are similar, but spiritual gifts are supernatural. You can't do what God does through you on your own. But he does use our abilities. Natural talents that you are born with, he wants to use those. And personality. God is intentional, and he created you because he wanted you. He gave you the personality that you have that is different than anybody else's. There are personality types, but no two people are the same. He created you unique, and your personality, learning more about that, will teach you how God wants to use you. And then experience, your life experiences. And there are things that we choose to do that we bring consequences on ourselves. There are things that happen to us that's outside of our control. There are things that we choose that are good things. God uses it all. Now, we've talked about spiritual gifts. We've walked through that. We've talked about abilities. But before we finish today, I want to talk about the other three. How God uses our heart, our personality, and our experience. Our experience says to shape us for his service, because he uses it all for his service. And understanding this will help us understand more about how God wants to use our giftedness to serve him. So God gives us desires that will ignite a passion for service. And this is really talking about our heart, our passion. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That which means if I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me desires that match his desires. He will show me what he wants me to do. And the miraculous thing about it is what he wants, if I've delighted, if I've submitted to the Lord, we've already talked about that, if I've determined to be obedient and I'm practicing obedience, what I find is that the desires that he gives me become my desires. I want the same things that God wants. And that's talking about your heart, your desires, your passions. A good way to describe it is this: your heart is the bundle of desires, hopes, interests, ambitions, dreams, and affections that you have. Rick Warren said that in The Purpose-Driven Life. It's absolutely true, though. That describes your heart, your desires, what you want, what you're passionate about, what really gets you going, what cranks your tractor, whatever, however you want to say it. It's what drives you. It's what you care about. It's what you're concerned about. And God gives us desires that ignite a passion in our hearts. It's the source of my motivations, what I love to do, what I care about the most. It's who you really are. When your heart comes out, it's the real you coming out. Psalm 27, verse 19, as water reflects the face, or Proverbs 27, 19, as water reflects the face, so the heart reflects the person. Your heart reveals the real you, who you really are. You can pretend to be somebody else, but eventually the real you is going to come out. Your heart reflects the real you. It determines why you say the things that you do, why you do the things that you do. It motivates you. It's why you make those decisions in your life, because it's about what you care about the most. And God has given each of us a heart for certain things that interest us, that drive us. We care about some things more than other things. You may not care about the same things that I do on the same level that I do, and that's okay because your heart is different than my heart. But God uses it all together, all of us together, to accomplish his purposes. But it's what I care about, what I'm passionate about. And there are two words that help us understand our hearts. One is passion. And passions are desires or purposes that bring us joy. Desires and purposes that bring us joy. And of course, you know, we're talking in a spiritual sense. There are things I can be passionate about that may provide temporary happiness, but not provide true joy. But if my passions are given to me by God and I'm pursuing him and his will, I will pursue those passions and I will discover joy in that. There are certain things that I feel passionate about, that you feel passionate about, that other people couldn't care less about. And that's because that's how God designed you and your passion. Now, we need to consider each other's passions. My passion doesn't need to dominate everything, right? We're working in cooperation. But that balance, as we pursue those things, we pursue and fulfill God's plan for our lives and for the church. But these passions reveal the true nature of our hearts. And there are three ways that your heart is going to be directed. One is a passion for a role, what you like to do, what you feel led to do. Another is a passion for specific people, individuals that you like to help or feel led to help. God, your heart's drawn to a group of people with specific needs. That's your passion. And third, a passion for a cause, what you would like to see changed. God gives you desires for certain causes, for certain situations. You know, whether it's going on a mission trip to Ecuador or somewhere else, or a group of people in the community that God's given you a heart for, a desire to help. God's drawn you to those people and given you a desire and a passion. And there may be others that join you in that, but there may be others that don't share that passion quite as strongly as you do. But that tells you a lot about how the heart that God has given you and how God is directing your life for service. The second word is personality. Your personality is greatly affected by your heart. Your personality will affect how and when and where you use the gifts that God has given you. Now think about it this way. Take two people who both have the gift of evangelism. And this is possible. One may be an introvert. One may be an extrovert. Those two people are going to use that gift in completely different ways. Still evangelizing. One person may use that gift on a more person-to-person level, building relationships and sharing the gospel that way, not out in the public. Another person, like, for instance, a Billy Graham, may do it in front of thousands of people and in private, but you get what I'm saying. Two different types of personalities, God can use that same gift in two completely different ways. Your personality is unique. And while we may have similar gifts, that gift is going to operate in your life different because of your heart, your passions, and your personality. And as we'll talk about, your experiences as well. But personality has a lot to do with it. Now, God may call you out of your comfort zone from time to time. And that's important to realize. We're talking about spiritual gifts. But it's important to realize that there are going to be times in your life, in my life, where God calls us out of our comfort zone and calls us to do things that have nothing to do with our areas of giftedness. And those are real, and they require faith, and they produce growth in us that we won't experience otherwise. But over the long haul, the majority of the time, if you are constantly serving out of your area of giftedness, outside of your comfort zone, continually, all the time, guess what's going to happen? You're gonna burn out eventually. There are those times, but God gifts us intentionally and for a purpose, and those gifts are to be used throughout our lives. He may use them in different ways. You may find in some season of your life, one gift is stronger than it was at another season in your life. That's the Holy Spirit working through you, but he is intentional about how he shapes us and gifts us for his kingdom work. And that's why it's so important that we understand this and pursue it. God made you to be you. He made me to be me. Not that I shouldn't grow, because we're imperfect. We all should grow. We should grow in spiritual maturity and Christ-likeness, but we're different. So I shouldn't try to mimic somebody else. I need to be who God created me to be. You need to be who God created you to be. And we together are here to fulfill the purposes that he's given this church. And guess what? We're all different. We're all unique. And in his wisdom, sometimes I wonder why, just kidding, he put us all together. Because on our own, when you think about all the different personalities in this room, and you think about accomplishing something in agreement with all of these different personalities in this room, it would seem impossible, right? But not with the Holy Spirit. Because with God, all things are possible. And this is, in his infinite wisdom, how he designed his church to be used for his kingdom purposes. And so we need to understand how God has shaped us involving our personality. When I minister, when you minister in a manner that's consistent with your heart, your passions, your personality, the gifts that God has given you, the abilities that he's given you, then we experience fulfillment. We experience joy. We experience accomplishment and joy, even if we don't see immediate results, because we're pursuing God's purposes and we find contentment in being in the center of his will. All you have to do is look around this room and discover that God likes variety. And he uses everyone for his purposes, those who are willing to surrender to him and to submit to him, to accept him as Lord and Savior, and walk in obedience. He will use us all, and he desires to use us all. But God will also use your experiences to shape you for service. Our experiences play a role in this. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. You and I, we've been shaped by our experiences in life, whether we realize it or not. God uses our experiences to shape us and to mold us, to prepare us for service. And he uses those past experiences in our service of him. God allowed, though he may not have caused them, he's not evil. Evil exists because sin exists and because we choose to disobey God and others choose to disobey God. But he'll use even those. He uses everything. He uses these experiences. He allows those experiences in your life for a purpose. You may not know exactly what that purpose is in this life. It may be an eternity, but he will use all of our experiences for his glory, and he uses them in service. We need to look at the following levels of experiences, and if we'll look at these levels, we'll understand better how to serve God. In determining when and where, how we should serve God, these levels of experiences will help us. One is ministry. What areas have you served God in the past? He may call you to do something similar, may call you to do something completely different, but he will use those past ministry experiences in your present and future service of him. So ministry is one aspect. Work is another. What jobs have you had in your life? Not even anything to do with ministry, okay? I mean, it's supposed to be a sacrifice of praise. Everything's worship and service of God. But I'm just talking about your work experience. What jobs have you had that you've been the most effective in? God may want to use the skills or where you are currently working now for his glory and his service. And it doesn't even have to be jobs that you have enjoyed in the past. God can use, yeah, I've shared with you before, all through college, my last year of high school, all through college, I worked in a meat department for Bruno's grocery store. Y'all remember Bruno's? I worked at Winn-Dixie for a short time, but it was mostly Bruno's. I worked in a meat department for 4.5 years. I'm not going to say I hated every minute of it, but I didn't enjoy working at a meat department. It was cold. I have scars on these two fingers where I almost cut my fingers off cutting a steak one time. So it could be dangerous. And there were guys I worked with that they were missing a finger or two. It was not a pleasant environment. I don't know what it is, but at least where I was, it attracted a group of guys that, let's say, didn't use good manners. We'll just leave it at that. Okay, so it wasn't always pleasant. And if you've worked in retail, you can empathize. People are not always nice, especially to the lowly meat clerk in the back. Heaven forbid I get somebody's meat sliced just the wrong width. So, you know, it wasn't the best of experiences. You know, growing in at 6 o'clock in the morning, they would always stick me in the coldest part of the freezer doing ground meat, which you couldn't wear gloves because you couldn't taint the meat. And so hands frozen, I mean, just not a pleasant experience all the time. But let me tell you what I learned. First of all, it motivated me to stay in college, so that was good. I mean, my parents appreciated that, I'm sure. So that was part of it. But you know what I did learn? I learned how to work with people. I learned a lot of things, but I learned how to interact with people, people that liked you and people that were mad at you at that particular time. And don't you think I use those skills today? God used that, and I didn't even know it at the time, to shape me for what I'm doing today, because guess what? I'm around people all the time. And so that's one way, and there are many more that God used that. But even within the context of that, when I started to grow in my faith, I realized I was right smack in the middle of a mission field in that department, in that grocery store with those guys who, most of which didn't know the Lord. If they did, no one would have known it because of the conversations and things. So God can use your work where you are now, where you've been in the past, to shape you for what he wants to do in the present and the future. He also will use your education. You know, what were your favorite subjects in school? What did you excel in? God may want to use that in a ministry now or in the future as you have opportunity to do that. Your spiritual experiences. Think back, and I call these, I'm not the only one, but I call these spiritual markers. Think back over your life, those major spiritual markers, where something happened or something motivated you. God intervened in your life in a powerful way to produce spiritual growth. It may have been on the mission field serving or on a mission trip. It may have been at a particular point of growth in your life or the people he put in your life, an experience that you had with God that produced a major change in your life and your commitment. He wants to use those experiences to shape you for future service. And then last but not least, painful experiences. And these are the ones we don't like to talk about, but quite possibly are the ones that he uses the most for ministry. I mean, it was through his pain that he ministered to us in our greatest need, right? Jesus on the cross, suffering and dying, a brutal death, taking on the wrath of God in our place, meeting our greatest need, the need for a Savior. And he uses our painful experiences. He uses them all, but maybe he uses these the most to prepare us for ministry, because it produces dependence in ways that we don't learn outside of pain. And you've heard it said, but it's absolutely true. God never wastes a hurt. If we will let him, he will use it for his glory. Your greatest ministry will most likely come out of your greatest hurt. And God's amazing that way. A recovering alcoholic ministering to other alcoholics. A parent with a child with special needs ministering to young parents who have just had a child born with special needs. Recovering drug addict. Someone who's lost a spouse ministering to someone who recently lost a spouse or a parent or a child. I mean, a divorcee who's seen God's, experienced God's grace and restoration in moving forward. ministering to someone who's recently divorced. I mean, the list goes on. We could all go around this room and share our painful experiences, and those of us who continued to trust God and continued to pursue Him through that pain and to trust Him through that pain, we could also share how God's used that pain to minister to others, because God is faithful and He never wastes a hurt. He will use it to shape you and to prepare you for service. God allows you to go. He doesn't cause them, but one of the reasons He allows us to go through those painful experiences is to equip us to minister to others. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 1:4. He comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction. Through the comfort we ourselves received from God. If you want to be used by God to minister to others, if we want to, we need to understand this powerful truth. The very experiences that you have resented or regretted most in your life, the ones you've wanted to hide and forget, are the experiences that God wants to use to help others. They are your ministry. Now, there's more to it than that, but God uses our hurts in a powerful way to impact the lives of those who are going through something similar or even the same things that we've been through in the past. God uses it all of this, to shape us. And all of this is important in understanding how God has gifted us and desires to use us in service for His kingdom. So where do we begin? Well, start by following the steps that we've laid out this morning. Are you submitted to God? Are you willing to obey? Are you committed to faithfulness? And are you understanding how God has shaped you? You know, I did something this week just because, you know, I was looking for an illustration. I looked up different types of wishes. You ever think about that? How many different ways you can wish, make a wish? What are some that come into your mind? Birthday candles. I just so happen to have some birthday candles. I'm not going to set anything on fire this morning. I've done that before, but I'm not going to do that today. I've got some birthday candles. So how does that work? Whoever said that, how does that work? I was having trouble seeing who that was. I don't know the direction. Summer. Thank you, Summer. You put them in a cake, you light them up, and then you make a wish first, right, and you blow them out. That's one way to make a wish. What about anybody have another one? I've got some interesting ones, but a shooting star. Yep, shooting star. Or the first star you see at night, right? Wish I may, wish I might. You make a wish. You see a shooting star, especially a shooting star, because you don't see that very often. You make a wish, all right? What else? Another one. Okay, wait a minute. Huh? A wishing well. I brought some coins. If I don't fall down, I brought some coins. Somebody wish I don't fall down. I got pennies, quarters, usually like a penny, you know, if you're cheap like me, not really. What do you do with the coin? Toss it in a wishing well or a fountain. That's just a money-making scheme. You ever look at all the coins these people get? But you toss a coin in a fountain, you make a wish, and it's supposed to come true, right? Did somebody say another one? Dandelions, you blow a dandelion. You know what that really does? It just makes more dandelions grow in your yard. If you have small kids, you have dandelions because they're always running around. But yes, that. Somebody said cross your fingers, right? That's another way to do it. This is one that I had not heard before. Maybe you have. When you buy a new pair of shoes before you put them on for the first time, make a wish. Anybody ever heard of that? I don't know. Maybe it's a northern thing. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I have no idea where that came from. But that's, I read it. I don't know. I'm going to try it next time. Not really. I don't make wishes that often. It's okay if you do. It's not a sin to make a wish, I guess. Okay, another one. And I actually wore a blue shirt this morning for this. Touch blue and your wish will come true. That's another one that I read. Ben's got blue on. Great minds. Yeah. And here's one that I had honestly never heard, okay? And it kind of surprised me. All right, the theory is that if you are near somebody and see them yawn and somehow manage not to yawn yourself, I'm not making this up, that if you make a wish, your wish will come true. I think that's just a myth because I don't think that's ever happened in the history of mankind. I know for me it hasn't. But all these things, you know, it's fascinating to see what the human mind, creativity, what we come up with, right? All these things. And it's okay to make a wish before you blow out your candles, all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something that I have learned in my life in serving the Lord. You are not going to discover God's purpose for your life through wishful thinking. You're not going to discover how he's gifted you by wishful thinking. We got to follow the steps that he's laid out for us. And it begins with a heart of submission and surrender. I've got to agree that I can't run my life, that it's his. That he bought it, it's his, and he directs it. If I don't take that first step, then I'm not teachable. He's not going to show me anything else about how he wants to use me. And then it continues with faithfulness. It's one thing to say I surrender. It's one thing to say I want to follow God. It's a completely different thing to get involved and start serving and be active in the church and with other believers. It continues with faithfulness. But then it's understanding that God is intentional and that he wants to use it all. That he has shaped me for service. He's gifted me. He's given me the desires and the passions in my heart that drive me if I have delighted myself in him. He's given me abilities that he created me specifically and uniquely with abilities to be used for him. He's given me the personality that he wanted to give me to use for his glory. And all of my experiences, if surrendered to him and dedicated to him, he can use for his glory and for his kingdom work. It involves all of it, but it begins with surrender. And here's the thing. Again, tonight, as we continue in our Equip 23 groups, you're going to be serving alongside others in this church. And you may be working on a task that doesn't necessarily relate to your area of giftedness, but your gift will be used in performing that ministry task in some way. And we're going to learn about how that works together. This is new for all of us. And there's going to be bumps along the way. There's going to be things that we learn that, hey, we don't need to do that again. There's going to be things that God uses and we and are successful, but it's going to be a journey of us all working together in cooperation to accomplish his purposes. And regardless of the project that you're working on and the ministry that it's related to, you're going to discover how God can use your gift to contribute to accomplishing that task. But here's the catch. We've all got to be willing to participate. We've got to make the decision to participate and to be involved. God doesn't want you to be an expert. He doesn't require that you've got all the answers. He doesn't require that you've got 3 doctorates in whatever area he's called you to serve. Here's what God wants, I'm convinced, more than anything else from you and me. He wants me to be available. He wants me to make myself available. Because if I have that attitude of submission and willingness, he will take me where I am with all of my imperfections and lack of experience and all of those things, and he will make me what he wants me to be and make you what he wants you to be for his glory and his service. But we have to be willing to submit and commit to him. Let's just take a moment in prayer. Now, I want you to think about something. You've heard about this, I'm sure, this revival that's going on at Asbury. It's not the first time that's happened. And I'm in awe of it, as I'm sure you are if you know about it. But let me just throw this out there, okay, as we enter this time of prayer. I haven't seen the level of response from this church in anything else we've done like I have with this that we're doing right now. And that's just the truth. I think if you ask any of the ministers here, the leaders that are in the know, I've never seen the level of response like I've seen with Equip 23. Maybe in any church I've ever pastored. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. What if, just throwing this out there, what if God is beginning a revival right here, right now? What if it's dependent upon each of us truly submitting to His lordship, His will, His rule and reign over our lives, and our willingness to get involved? The response has been great, and I am so encouraged by it. But if we don't continue in faithfulness, if we're not serious about this, I guarantee you God is. If we're not serious about this, we will miss out on the blessing, the revival that I believe God has in store. Father, I pray that each of us, that this isn't just a whim, that this just isn't just caught up in the moment, that we're not just following what seems to be working right now, but that we truly have surrendered to You, and that that will be proven through our faithfulness. Lord, I pray for revival in this church and in this community. I pray that You would ignite the hearts of Your people, and that You would send us on fire for You to reach those around us who are desperately in need of You. We understand that it requires surrender. We understand that it requires faithfulness on our part. You're not going to force us to serve You. You give us that choice. We understand that You use everything in our lives for Your service if we let You. But we also understand that the work is supernatural. The strength, the resources, the opportunities, the abilities come from You. It can only be done by You. And Lord, we ask that You take control of our lives, that You take control of this church, that You direct it where You want it to go, and You accomplish Your purposes. And I pray that none of us will stand in the way of what You're trying to do in and through our lives and through this church. May we be obedient and submissive. Lord Jesus, You accomplish Your purpose. Remove our selfishness, remove our agendas, remove anything that we would try to put in the place, in Your place in our lives. Lord, we surrender to You. Have Your will, have Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. If the Lord is leading you to respond in some way, you just respond in obedience.